The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you may be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. The Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the rich man, and Lazarus. The Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the rich man, and Lazarus. So first, the prodigal son. We'll start with the Good Samaritan. It's a story we've all known, we've all heard countless times. A man is traveling on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's roughed up by a group of robbers. They beat him and leave him half for dead on the side of the road. The two first people who come walking through, the ones you would expect to help him, the priest, the Levite, they pass by. They ignore him. But the third person, the Samaritan, the one who is hated, despised, rejected, shunned by the Jewish society, he is the one who actually gives of his time and attention to bend down, to wash the wounds of the man on the road, and to bring him to an inn where he receives care. The Good Samaritan. The prodigal son. A young man asks his father for his share of the inheritance. Then he goes off and foolishly spends every last penny on the worst things you can imagine. And so when he has nothing left, where does he turn? He thinks that his only place is to go and work at the farm. And so he finds himself tending the swine. And St. Luke says that he longed to have his fill of the pods on which the pigs themselves ate. And when he finally arrives home, he says, "Father, no longer treat me as your son, but treat me as your hired worker. Like a slave, like the lowest of the low." The prodigal son. And then finally, the rich man and Lazarus. This is actually the story that we will hear next weekend from Jesus. It's the story of a rich man who dines on the best food every day. He wears the best clothes. But when he exits his door day after day, he steps over a poor, suffering man who is covered with wounds. The dogs come and lick his sores. And when both men die, the poor man goes to heaven, the rich man to the underworld. And it's from the depths of the underworld that the rich man cries out, "Lazarus, save me. Just extend your hand and touch the waters to cool my tongue." The rich man and Lazarus. My friends, these three stories are only told by St. Luke. And you have to understand something about St. Luke to unlock their true essence, which will lead us to the gospel for today. St. Luke could easily be called the gospel of the suffering, the gospel of the poor, the gospel of the down and out, people who are lowly, kicked around, despised, hated and rejected, sick, in need of care and healing. And St. Luke lifts them up. He lifts them up through the words of Jesus, because so often the stories that Luke tells with the mouth of Jesus are what we might call parables of crisis. People who are in some kind of turmoil, a situation which maybe they chose or maybe they didn't, that cries out for healing. And in these moments of crisis, whether it's someone who is on the side of the road left for dead, or a person who has spent all of their money, or a person who cries out from the depths of hell, St. Luke says, the place where you expect they might receive help and healing, nope, that's not where they get it. You might expect that the place where they get help and healing is by lifting a hand upwards to someone who has power, to someone who has resources, to someone who has wealth to actually maybe do something about it, to someone who has a position, to someone who has status. But St. Luke says no. They don't lift up their hands to the person who is above, but they find their healing by looking at the person below them, to the person who is even poorer than they. The rich, or the person on the side of the road, finds his help in a lowly Samaritan, someone who's hated and despised. The person who has spent all of his money finds himself a bit of comfort tending the pigsty. And the rich man calling out from hell, the first person he calls out to is the very man that he stepped over day after day, who was bleeding and sick on his doorstep. This is what St. Luke tells us, friends, that when we are in distress, that when we are in crisis, maybe our source of healing comes from the least expected place. Maybe it actually comes from uniting ourselves with others who are already suffering, with others who are already poor, with others who are already down and out and kicked around and left for dead. Which brings us to our gospel for today, which is a rather confusing account, friends, especially when we hear this person praised for his dishonesty. Well, how about that? But you have to understand St. Luke's theology. You have to understand where St. Luke is coming from in telling the story through the mouth of Jesus. So, friends, what do we have? We have this servant who is lazy, who is sleazy, and who is dishonest. And if I'm being honest, my friends, he deserves to lose his job. He does. He's not very good at it. He should be fired just like that. But when he discovers that he is going to be fired, he's thinking, well, I need to do something to try to rectify the situation. So where should I go? And where does he go but the debtors, the people who don't have any power? They don't have any position. They don't have any status. They don't have any money. And he goes to them. And he says, okay, I kind of need your help in this. I hear that you owe 100 measures of olive oil. How about we just make it 50 and call it a day, but don't tell anybody. And you over here, I hear you owe, oh, what is it, 100 cores of wheat? Let's just make it 80 and call it a day, but don't tell anybody. And when the news gets back to the master is somehow pleased with this. That even though this person had very dishonest motives, the very place that he thought to look was the people below himself, recognizing that they actually might have something to teach him. That in their poverty, that in their suffering, that in their pain of being kicked around day after day, they might actually have something to offer him. My friends, when we hear these stories from the gospel, they're meant to shake us up. They're meant to cause us to think deeply about the ways that we interact with others in the world. Are we always stretching our hands upward, trying to be one of the elite, trying to be one of the powerful, trying to be one who is always on top? Or do we actually have the ability to look down and to unite ourselves with people who are longing for healing, longing for inclusion, longing for welcome? Because if we're honest with ourselves, that's what all of us need. All of us need healing. All of us need inclusion. All of us need welcome. So, friends, these passages, they are meant to shake us. And if you don't believe me, listen to the prophet Amos when he speaks in the first reading. He says, "Hear this, you who trample on the needy. Hear this, you who destroy the poor of the land. You sit yourselves in the synagogues Sabbath after Sabbath, and yet you are hypocrites." He says, all you do when you come to the synagogue is that you just count the moments when you can get out and you can go back to exploiting the poor. This is what the book of Amos is about, friends. It's about Amos shaking up the people and saying, you need to pay attention. Pay attention to the people who are suffering, because what you don't realize is that by ignoring them, you are a greater sufferer than they. And so Amos, he raises his voice and he says, this is what God desires, that justice serves like waters, that the righteousness of God flow like an unfailing torrent, like a stream, like a river, and that the justice of God will bathe the whole land, starting with the lowest of the low. Which again, if we're honest, can't we all count ourselves among the lowest of the low at some point in our lives? Points that we have found ourselves struggling physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually. Those moments in our lives where we have found ourselves kicked around and despised, in heated arguments, in friction with other people. St. Luke says, if this is you, Jesus is here, and Jesus is giving you that hand of outreach, but it's not coming from above, friends. It's not coming from power. It's not coming from prestige. It's not coming from wealth or positions or accolades. It's coming up from below, where Jesus himself has united his being, his soul, his body, blood, soul, and divinity with those who most long for hope, those who most long for refuge and shelter and protection and strength. So friends, where do we search for our healing? Is it by grasping for things that are well out of our reach? Or is it actually just by crouching low, acknowledging that we're just humble in the hands of our Lord? But that's exactly where he wants us. He wants to be able to hold us in his grasp, to give us his message that before him, we are not poor, We are not despised. We are not lonely and kicked around. But we ourselves are the treasure. We are God's wealth. We are God's beautiful creation. And he says that this is where I keep you. I keep you in my palms because you are the wealth of the world. You don't need it anywhere else but in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what we hear this morning, friends, Sunday after Sunday, coming back to be renewed by his word and his sacrament, trusting that God, yes, he hears the cries of all the poor. He lifts up the lowly and he places them right by his side.